Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
And welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Hello. We are back. It feels like we haven't been here in a long time.
Yes. We only skipped 1 week. Sorry, that was on me. My bad.
Yeah. See, it happens.
Yeah. Life, man. It just be getting to you. But we're back with some fun little stories for you today, and I am very excited. But before we get into them, guys, me and Savannah last weekend went to my cousin's wedding in West Virginia. Good old West Virginia.
Yes, it was Mountain a lot of
mama.
Fun.
Mama. Take me home. Yeah. yeah, it was crazy. So much was going on. Just driving down dirt roads, getting lost. I mean, just anything you could think of, we probably did that, you know? Anything country, we did it. Mm-hmm. Or at least experienced it. And so that was fun, you know? And while we were there, like, somehow, I don't know how it just happens, but people just come up to us and they were like, we have a ghost story for you.
Right. Like, honestly, that was just... like, fate or something.
Yeah, it was
so weird.
They
knew where to find us.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because, I mean, obviously, like, it's my cousin's wedding. My family knows I have a podcast. But, like, me and Savannah were off in the distance, far away from everybody else. And these people came up to us and they were like, you want to hear a ghost story? And we were like...
And see, these people didn't even know us. They were from the other side of the wedding.
Yeah, the other... Know? Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. And we were like, can you please tell us a ghost story, actually? Because... we need to hear it. So, do you want to tell it, Savannah?
I think I remember what he said.
Okay. That like, sounds I don't know. So confident.
I don't know if I remember all of it. Like, I remember, like, the very simplified...
Well, me too.
...version.
Me too.
Okay. okay. So, basically, it has to do with a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us directions. So this man, he gave us directions to a cemetery that was close to where we were having, close to where this wedding was.
Mm-hmm.
He did not tell us the name of the cemetery.
Yeah, well, no, I asked and he was like, there is no name.
Yeah, he said he didn't know it or there was none. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
True. Or maybe he's just like, it's unnamed. Like, it's just, it's like a whole family cemetery.
Yes, yeah. And he's just like, I just know where it is. Like, it's off of this exit. I can't follow directions.
Truly and seriously, he was like, you're going to make a left at Maul's house and then a right on to the Peach Cobbler Drive. And then you're going to take a left over the bridge. And we were like, oh, yeah, we're following you. Sorry.
Right, exactly.
unfortunately, we weren't following him. I do know the general location he was talking about, though. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, if we had time, we would have went by, but...
I know.
We did not. But he went on to say that there was a house there that burned down.
Mm-hmm.
And that whenever he drives past it, he sees, like, the family that died there.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, like, he can clear as day, like, as we see each other. He was like, as you see me right now, I see, like, a man and a woman and then two kids, like, a boy and a girl, standing in fire. And I was like, excuse me, sir? And he was like, I've seen it every single time I go there, like, 25 times at least.
Well, no, you know what he said? You asked him, I remember you asked him if he's ever seen it before. Or if it was just a story he heard, and he said, oh, no, I've seen it about 40, 50 times.
Yeah, no, literally. And he was like, and my brother's seen it, and my mama's seen it. And yes. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know if I'm trying to see it, but I also kind of am trying to see
right.
it.
Right, I know.
I mean, we'll go back up there, and we'll have time the next time we go, and we'll go check it out.
See, I don't know. I'm hoping that his... when he said, like, oh, I've seen it 40, 50 times, like, that could have been just an exaggeration from, you know, we were at a wedding, there were drinks around.
Drinks were very much so around.
So, I mean, maybe he hasn't seen it that many times. But
okay, but, like, even if you've seen it, like, if he's saying 40 to 50, in my mind, that means there's at least, like, 10 times,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're saying 40 to 50, there's been quite a few.
Yes, yes,
times.
Yes. More than you can count.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so, that was crazy. And he was like, I know I sound crazy, but I promise I'm not crazy. And he sounded very believable, so, you know.
He did,
I guess. Yes. I don't know where it is, but if you're out there in West Virginia and you know what I'm talking about, let us know. Because we would love to know, like, the actual name of the actual people. And, like, you know, maybe tell their story one day. I don't know. Something clearly tragic happened there.
Yeah. Do we know what area that was?
Yeah. Like, near Dawson, West Virginia. It's a very small town. Also near, like, Alderson, West Virginia. So,
so that area. Out there knows that story of a house that burned down.
Yeah. With a family in it. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Also, okay, this is more personal side of things, moving along from the wedding, other than it was very fun. And we had a great time. Okay, wait, no, actually, before we move on.
Oh,
yeah, we almost forgot, like, the most important part of the story. Well, not the most, but so we stayed in the house on, like, the wedding venue of my cousin's wedding.
Yeah, it was an interesting venue. So it was, like, basically a house, like a big house.
Yeah, so it's a farm. It's a farm,
actually. Yeah, it's a farm. So, like, a bunch of land. And then there's a pavilion and a place, like, you know, where the wedding was actually at, all on this property. And then, yeah, there was rooms to stay in, like, in the house, so.
Yeah, and me and Savannah got the lucky choice. So, like, the whole house was, like, pretty much renovated, pretty new.
Yes.
Except for the room that me and Savannah stayed in, which was Mom and Dad's room.
Yes.
Is what it was called. There was, like, a sign in the room hanging. As well as pictures of Mom and Dad, like, throughout the room. It was a very creepy looking room. I'll give it that.
Yeah, a little bit. Wood paneled walls.
Yeah, definitely, like, a throwback type room. Like, this is not modern, you know. This is, like, I don't know how to describe it. There's a word I'm looking for, but it's just not coming to me. Antique, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we stayed in Mom and Dad's room, and unfortunately, nothing happened to us while we were there. I was kind of hoping something scary might happen, like a little ghosty, a little bump in the night. But quite honestly, I passed out and I didn't even hear anything when we were in there.
Yeah, no, I didn't really hear or see anything in there either. Mm-mm. I don't know.
Sad.
Maybe the ghosts just liked us.
True. They're, I, like, mean, how could, gonna you, make how could you not?
Yeah, exactly. no, but they were just trying to make sure we had a good stay, you know?
That's true. That, you know, and maybe it was Mom and Dad, you know?
Yeah, they're welcoming us into the home.
They wanted us to be there. Also, this is just like a FYI. At my cousin's wedding, there was, like, a fire and we were making s'mores. And never in my life have I come up with this concoction, but my cousin Regan, shout out to you because you are a genius. And she said that she doesn't like graham crackers. So instead she got fudge stripes, which is like a cookie and chocolate around it. And then put the marshmallow in the middle of it. And guys, that's a game changer. Go try it. You have to buy less items too.
True.
So it's probably the same price, but it's less items. So easier to work with. That was amazing and very fun. But moving along from the wedding situation.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The very first day that we started this podcast, I had a notebook, like a completely empty, cute little golden notebook. And I was like, you know what I should do? I don't know how long this podcast is going to last, because on day one, our goal was 10 episodes. And here we are on episode 118, still going strong. And So I was like, you know, maybe one day it would be cool to look back. And if I had like a little book, a little synopsis book. So every week I write like a little brief, little, I don't know what you would call it, like a spark note.
A summary.
Yeah, a summary. There you go. A little summary of our stories. And today, episode 118 is officially the last page in this first notebook of Mysteries, Myths, and Legends podcast book. So,
wow.
The end of an era, really, truly.
True. Wait, what if we, like, publish that one day?
That's what I'm saying. Guys, if there's some notes in here that I just really wish I knew. Like, for example, I just flipped to a page, and in my notes, so on one side of the page is, like, the summaries, and then on the other is just, like, the notes of, like, some of the intro topics we wanted to talk about that day. And this one says, Princess Juju. I don't know what that means. If you weren't here for when I lived with Juju, he was our assistant. Still is, just from, he works remote now.
right.
But I don't know why I wrote Princess Juju in there, but I sure did. So, you know, funny cute things like that. But I do have a new second journal, and it's very cool.
Yay.
So be cracking that one open next week, I suppose. But go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But other than that, do you want to go ahead and get into your story, Savannah?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, I'm actually pretty excited about what I have to talk about today.
Ooh, let's do it. Let's get into it.
So, today's topic, I think you have probably heard of, and I had, like, known about it, but I wanted to, like, get deeper into it. So let's just reveal what it is. Shifting.
Ah, okay. I'm so excited. Because A, I need all the information on it, and B, if you've watched TikTok in the past year, I feel like you may. If you're on the right side of TikTok, aka mine and Savannah's side, yes, you'll know. At least, maybe have at least heard the word shifting.
Yeah. So the full thing is like reality shifting. So, like a quick overview of what that really means. It's shifting your consciousness to, like, an alternate reality, which is, like, it sounds very out there and, like, not, like, a real thing, but as I keep going, you can, you know, make the decision yourself if you believe that this is real or not.
For sure.
So, it's basically, like, an attempt to alter, like, the reality you're experiencing right now. And see, like, some of these words I took off of different websites. And transcend. See, that's a big word. Transcend your physical confines to visit an alternate universe.
Mm-hmm. So, basically, I guess you need to start out with, you need to believe that there are other universes.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. This idea is kind of rooted in Buddhism and Hinduism, like with meditation and stuff, because they both, both of those religions have meditation worked into their religion, but they do not really do this in their religions. Like I'm not saying that like Buddhism and Hinduism, like they reality shift at all.
Yeah.
They just meditate. But, yeah, like, people got that idea from meditation.
Yeah,
for sure. If that makes sense.
For sure.
So, yeah. And it's kind of like leaving this reality for another, but, like, not permanently.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah, that's, like, the best,
scenario.
That's just, like, how, that's the best, explanation.
Well, I mean, like, instead of, like, leaving permanently is what I'm trying to say.
There is, Well, I mean, there's not really... I guess there's not any instances of anybody leaving permanently because, you know, they wouldn't come back to say anything.
That's true.
But, yes. Yeah, I didn't really think about that.
Me neither.
Leaving permanently?
I don't know. Me neither.
Like, anyway. What would that leave you... What would that leave you, like, yourself here with?
That's a really great question.
You just die in your sleep?
I guess. Yikes. I don't know.
Yikes.
Yikes. Anyway.
Anyways.
Back to the fun shifting part.
Yeah, we'll get back to that part later because that's kind of interesting. But so shifting sort of became mainstream popular on the internet in like 2018 actually. So like that's a while ago. Farther back than when I first heard about it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
And it became a more popular trend in 2020, like around COVID, you know, because everyone's inside. They mm-hmm. want
to yeah.
do something. So many people have claimed to actually have done this, actually shifted realities. So let's sort of get into this. And I'm going to go back to like sort of like before it was a trend. And we're actually going to go back to the 50s.
No way. People were shifting in the 50s?
Well.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Let me just tell you about it. So, I guess you haven't guessed it yet, but there was a study done by the CIA in the 50s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that tracks.
I'm guessing, yeah, I know. This is probably, you know, similar, the same realm as those other studies that I think you talked about.
Yeah, the Montauk Project.
Yes, mm-hmm. Probably similar idea there.
Yeah, or maybe they were all working together.
Yeah. Yeah, what year was that, though?
You would ask me that right now.
Like, was this before, like, was the...
When was, like, is this happening?
This is the 50s.
No, that's exact. It was like... Well, they don't really know officially when they started, but it's around the same time as this.
Okay. So during that time, I guess the government was... They were trying to figure out what happened in your brain and, like, different realities and stuff. So, cool stuff. It started with this radio executive, Robert Monroe. He was researching how sound patterns impact consciousness.
Ooh, which is pretty cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Since, like, he worked with radio and, like, he...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's smart. That's probably how they convince us to do all these things. Like, I mean, you know, we don't listen to the radio anymore, but, like, radio ads and stuff were big back in the day, you know? They, like, true. Subliminally put stuff in there.
Yeah. Oh, it does. It probably does connect to subliminal.
Mm-hmm. Definitely does. Somehow.
Yeah. So while experimenting with, like, sleep learning, which honestly I don't even know what that is. Like,
girl, I wish I could sleep learn. Like, back in school times.
Yeah. So while he was doing this, he had multiple out of body experiences and began after this he researched human consciousness and altered states of consciousness. So he sort of started getting into that stuff. And the government, the United States government, got, they took interest in this research, and the CIA, which is the Central Intelligence Unit, they began researching Monroe's, what he called the gateway process, or the gateway experience. So, this is all, like, so cool to me, honestly.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's giving very much a movie, but it's, like, real.
I know. Maybe there is a movie about this. I gotta...
Oh, there for sure is.
Yeah. Maybe. So, this is basically how to create an altered state of consciousness. Like, that's what he was researching. And techniques that he found... or, like, that he was, like, studying, included hypnosis, transcendental meditation, biofeedback, binaural sounds, affirmations, and subliminals.
Oh.
So, I know most of those.
Yep, same.
You know, like affirmations, yes, you're just like saying things over and over again, so they mm-hmm. come true.
That's so subliminal. That's so weird that you just mentioned subliminal. And I've said that like literally 5 seconds
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, true. Because it all ties in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So many of these ideas align with what shifters use today to attempt to shift realities, actually. So, interesting. So the U.S. Army Operational Group, who was like researching, this guy who was researching classical physics and quantum mechanics and consciousness, he concluded that these techniques not only alter consciousness but transcend space-time.
Okay, no big deal.
Right, like, but this is like a big thing that was like on the end of, like, when I was looking this up, at the end of it, it said, this study was completed in 1983 and is considered outdated and not based on current understandings of neuroscience. So basically they're saying, like, this all of this stuff true. That I just said is probably not true because it's just old science.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. You know, it happens.
I mean, yeah, like, that could be true, but, I mean, I don't know. Is it true, though?
Yeah, I mean, they could also just be saying that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Who can we trust? We don't know.
I did say that many, like, people who shift today, like, they say they use these techniques.
Yeah.
To shift.
Well.
But, I don't know.
Maybe they're saying that so people, like, don't listen to it so they don't try to shift.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They're like, we're not gonna tell the public that they can shift to other realities because that's too much for them to handle.
Exactly. Like, well, even the fact that there are other realities is, like, too much to handle for the public, I feel like.
I know. It's almost too much for me to handle.
This is, like, a really big thought process we're having going mm-hmm. on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. Yeah. I'm trying to shift realities.
I know. So, like, it doesn't surprise me that the government would make this statement that, like, it's outdated.
Oh, no.
Because, I mean, that can be believable. Like, yes, it is probably outdated. But also, we do use a lot of outdated science today.
Yeah, and, like, other guys. Things. We haven't, know. Like, redid, like, gynecology as a whole, like, since the beginning.
I mean, that's true.
So, like...
And I was thinking about how doctors and nurses work, like, long shifts.
Right.
And that was because, I'm pretty sure that was because of, like, one doctor back in the day who said that, like, oh, like, you have, it's better for medical staff to work these long hours for some reason, but he was, like, on cocaine and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was fine, but everybody... But still, people today, they work... Like, my friends work 3 on, 4 off. 3 days, like, 12-hour shifts. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I can barely handle my Monday through Friday 9 to 5, baby.
I know. We, like...
So, yeah, to say the least, we're definitely still using outdated practices. So, like, that's not a very good excuse, government.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come after me. I'm just saying. Not a very good excuse.
True. So I want to get into shifting as a trend a little bit. Because it really interests me. I kind of want to try it. So back to the whole realities thing, like multiple realities. There is a belief that... there's sort of like an unlimited amount of realities, almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a reality where like anything, like you could literally make something up in your head and that's a reality.
Yeah. Like they say, people say like there's a reality for every single choice that you could ever possibly make.
Yeah.
So like think about that. That's a bunch of choices, you know?
And also like as I'm thinking about it right now, it does make sense that once you think up a scenario, then it exists, at least in your head.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
So it does exist.
Yeah. To you.
Yeah. So that could, see, and that feeds into this a little bit, because that could be what is happening here. Yeah. That's just like, in your head.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But let me start getting into shifting as a trend a little bit. As I said earlier, it became popular on YouTube, actually, in 2018, but then it really took off in 2020 during the pandemic. And people who shift, they believe that their consciousness shifts to another realm or another reality. And there are, like, tutorials on YouTube and TikTok, and people have made, like, online communities to talk about this on YouTube, TikTok, Reddit, all over. And they like share their experiences and try to help each other shift better, or like if you can't do it, they like give you tips on how to do it. And I actually follow some of these people on TikTok.
Me too.
You do? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we follow the same people.
Well, I was just thinking, we'll talk about more of it later. I know you'll get into it later, but like this one specific person that we would always send each other.
Oh, wait. We might. No, I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, was it the Stranger Things?
Yeah, the Stranger Things, yeah.
Yeah, so I've never actually tried it myself, but a lot of the people I see shifting, they shift into realities that like are in TV shows and stuff.
Yeah, so for example, like at least I know the reason that I know about shifting is because when Stranger Things season 4 came out, I mean, me and Savannah have always loved Stranger Things, one of our fave shows of all time, in case you don't know. Definitely my fave show of all time. And we're always like, we wish that we lived, like, not necessarily that we wish, like, we lived back in that time, but we just want to live in Stranger Things world, you know? Because it's cool. I mean, even though we're fighting Demogorgons.
Yeah, like, not getting attacked by monsters, but like, other than that.
But, like, other than that, it's still a vibe. And so some people on TikTok said that they were shifting into the Stranger Things world. So me and Savannah were sending each other these TikToks being like, okay, let's go see Eddie Munson, you know? Yeah. Be with Steve.
Yes. So. Yes. And then some of these TikToks, like, they're so, like, I believe them that they actually are, like, doing this because they describe, like, you know, in the latest season of Stranger Things, Steve and...
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Stranger Things.
Okay. It's not really that big of a spoiler.
No, but honestly, if you haven't seen it at this point, that's your fault.
Steve and what is her name?
Nancy?
No.
Oh, Robin. Robin.
Yes, Robin. Steve and Robin, they work at the video store, like mm-hmm. Family Video.
Yeah.
And this person who's shifting, like, she describes, like, on TikTok saying that she was working at Family Video with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, she's like, oh, it's just like a normal work day. Like, it's the full thing.
Yeah. Like, which is so cool.
They're just joking with each other.
Like, yeah. And like, they're their characters and I'm me, but I just work there with them.
Yes.
That is so cool.
Yeah. I could talk about it for a while. Like, how crazy it is that.
Truly.
It works, but. I hope I'm explaining it well enough to people who don't know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I think that we're explaining it as dumbed down as we can possibly get it.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like, so we have to dumb it down for ourselves, too. Don't worry. It's not just y'all. Yeah. It is complicated.
Yeah. So, yeah. Shifting into a different reality. Basically going to another world. And it's not like a dreamlike state. It's like you're living that life. So yeah, that's where it's like different from a dream. Mm-hmm. But I'll get to that part later too. Okay, so there are some methods people use to shift, and I'm going to go through a few of them. I have not tried any because I have not really, like, dove into it enough to even do that. Because, see, to shift, see, another thing is you need to have, like, a DR, which... That's what they all say online, a DR, but it's it stands for desired reality or a dream reality. And you sort of plan it before you shift and make a script of everything that's gonna happen to you and what you look like in the world. Like, you can look like yourself in this world or somebody else and have a different name or something. So you have to detail all of that out before you shift and just have that, you know, in your head ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hard part for me because yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I haven't tried it either, only because I'm literally too lazy to write it all out.
True.
It's not like, even that I'm like that's a lot to write out. Like, because I want if I'm going to do it, I want to do it and I want it to be very extravagant, you know? Yeah.
Yep.
So it would take a lot of preparation.
I know. And I'm like, I don't know what world I want to try to shift to.
There's also that.
I try for one that's already existing, like Stranger Things or something? Like, that could be cool. Or make up my own?
Like, that seems dangerous. I don't know the rules. Seems like a lot. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? I guess it's whatever you want it to be, really.
Yeah. I know, but, like, the amount of choice and stuff that goes into it, it's, like, it's a lot.
It really is.
But maybe someday I'll do it. I don't know. So, so you have to write everything down pretty much. But the more specific you are, the more likely you are to be successful in shifting. Which, that is another thing that halts me in doing this, because, like, you have to be really specific. Like, I can't make decisions like that.
Me and Savannah cannot make decisions, cannot and will not make decisions. No. So that's also a hard part for us.
Yeah, so that's why, but that is also why, like, a lot of people use fictional universes that already exist in stories and movies and stuff, because it's easier to shift that way when you don't have to make it all up yourself. You're making up, you know, the situation but not the characters.
Yeah, for sure. That's a lot easier, a lot of time saved.
Yes. So in order to shift, you need to be asleep or like in a meditative state. So, like, your body is asleep but you're still conscious somehow.
Yeah, I'm kind of taking that as like in a hypnotized state is kind of what I imagine.
Yeah. So I have, actually, that's my next point, is using self-hypnosis.
Yeah.
Yep. So some self-hypnosis techniques or hypnotic inductions that are used are like counting down from 10 to 1 or imagining walking down the stairs. And then when you get to one, or when you get to the bottom of the stairs, then you're in your DR, your other reality.
Oh, okay.
So that's a technique people use. There's also the Raven method, where you lie on your back in like a starfish position with your arms and legs out and count down from 100.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. While imagining your desired reality. Which
I don't think I could do both at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, you have to count down out loud.
Well, I guess in your head.
But probably. I feel like I would lose count. If I'm, like, trying to be, like, 99, 98, also Stranger Things reality, right. I'm going to be cool, you know? Like, that's a lot to think about at once.
Yeah, I don't know. There is also the Alice in Wonderland method, where you imagine yourself running after somebody that's from your desired reality, and then you jump down a hole after them. So, like, just like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And there is the pillow method, which people say is easiest for beginners, but I don't know if this would actually work. So you take your script that you wrote out and you put it under your pillow.
Interesting.
You put it under your pillow and then you wake up in your desired reality.
Okay, well, that seems like the easiest way if that works.
Yeah, see, that's what... But like... Yeah, that is the easiest way. But it's also hard because it doesn't work a lot of the time.
Yeah, I'm like, it's giving the Tooth Fairy is going to show up.
Right, right. So, I don't know. I think I could try maybe the one that's like walking downstairs. Like, that might be an interesting one.
Yeah, that kind of scares me. I kind of like the falling down the hole.
Oh.
Because that seems kind of fun. Because I love Alice in Wonderland. But also the one, like, where you're, like, chasing them. I feel like that one could be doable, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, like, the same thing. The same one.
Oh, yeah. True.
Chase them and then fall down the hole.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's the one I want, honestly.
Yeah, you're going to do the Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so also I want to mention that people who shift, like, that I've seen online make videos and stuff, they say that it takes, like, it can take up to years to actually shift. Like, they can write it all out, have it all detailed and stuff, and then, you know, try maybe every night, maybe once a week or something, I don't know, but... then they don't shift for, like, maybe a year or two.
Well, I would definitely give up before that. Like, unfortunately for me.
Yeah. But then some people do, like, in like, a few weeks or a few months. Like, not usually on the first try.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it takes a while, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how long I would try before I would give up.
Right.
Right. Maybe I would try. I don't know. See, now that I'm talking about it a lot more, I'm like, I do want to try to do this. See if it
works.
Yeah,
I mean,
for me.
Like, once you have it all written out, I wouldn't mind trying it every night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because it doesn't really, I guess it doesn't take that much effort.
No. Not really.
For some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So, a big thing with shifting and, like, the fact that you're doing it while you're falling asleep is a lot of people say that, oh, like, you're not shifting to another reality. You're just lucid dreaming.
Low-key, that's what I thought it was, too, at first.
Well, I kind of thought the same thing until I started looking into the difference between the two. And now I'm, like, torn. Because everybody I've seen talk about shifting, they describe it as, like, the most vivid thing ever. As if they're awake in another world and living in it, right? Not dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And then lucid dreaming, on the other hand, is like you can tell you're sort of in a dreamlike state and you can tell you're still yourself is a big one.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I also saw somebody say that when they're shifting, they almost feel like a different person.
Mm-hmm. That does make sense, though, because I have not shifted in my life, but I have lucid dreamed, whatever. and I did know I was in the dream. So, like, I guess it's definitely not the same thing then. I mean, unless you're like, I definitely shifted. Like, do you know you shifted once you shifted? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I think that's up in the air. I think maybe yes, but then you sort of like start to go about your like day to day. You're like, you know, in that world.
Yeah.
But also I've heard of people saying that they will come up with like a safe word or like action or something to get them back to their normal world.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. You might be like awake enough. I mean, like quote unquote awake enough to know that you're in another
reality. I got what you're saying.
Yeah. But also another thing with the lucid dreaming, I've never had a lucid dream or shifted, so I don't really know.
You never had a dream where you could control?
No.
Wow, that's so sad.
I know, it is kind of sad. See, that's the other thing, though. Controlling your dreams. So, in a way, you do control your shifting experience, right? Because you're planning out your script and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But people say while you're in it, you don't really control what's happening. You just control yourself like you do in the regular world.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
And you can't, and you also can't, like, you know, in lucid dreams, you could just, like, fly or something. You can't really do that. In, I mean, I guess unless you scripted yourself to be a superhero.
Yeah, true.
So it is different.
No, you know, you're totally right, because I was sitting here thinking this whole time, like, I feel like it could just be a lucid dream, but you're right. It's completely different.
Yeah, like, the way people explain it definitely seems different. What else? I have, like, a whole list here of why they're different, but I kind of just, like, went off on my own tangent. So shifting involves, like, planning and visualization and meditation, and lucid dreaming does not really. You can just do that at any whim. Shifting could also have some aspects of astral projection. So that's interesting.
Okay, hold on. Because that's what I was also going to talk about, but I was going to wait till you were going to talk about it. Because, like, that, I feel like, is the same thing. As shifting.
Like, yeah, like projecting. I should have written down what that really meant.
Okay, so to be fair, I only know astral projection through the lens of Insidious the movie.
Okay.
So take that into consideration when I say that I am pretty sure astral projection is literally you projecting yourself into a different universe. However, while you're physical body, like, your soul goes somewhere else while your physical body stays on Earth.
Okay, that is exactly it then.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I thought.
Yeah, cool. So, because your body does still stay.
True. So, like, in Insidious, like, it's, like, heaven or hell, like, demons, angels, you know, type stuff. But, like, I guess that's just that universe that he's in, you know? He's just shifted to the bad place.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. A really, really scary place.
Yes. That's. See, we're connecting it back. Love that. To a movie that I haven't seen.
Oh my god.
As we talk about every time.
Everybody boo Savannah right now. Boo. Because that's a quality movie.
Sorry. okay. So I have a last point about lucid dreaming. That although, like, most people who shift, and, you know, I kind of have convinced myself that it is not lucid dreaming, but I don't know.
Well, you have convinced me of that right now.
Like, you could, you know, use lucid dreaming as an easier way to understand this phenomenon, though, as, like, a more reasonable explanation to, like, a person who doesn't believe in paranormal and, like, weird things like this.
Yeah, or, like, if you've never heard of this before, like, lucid dreaming might be the easiest way to, like, dip your toe in the water.
Or to, like, explain to somebody else, like, oh, I'm just, like, it's just a dream world.
Yeah,
Saying, oh, I'm going to a different reality.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
See, like, thinking about it as going to a whole different reality is, like, weird, because it's, like, that sounds crazy.
Absolutely, but, it does. Absolutely, it does.
But, like, explaining all of this stuff and seeing videos of people saying that it works and that they've been to other worlds like this, like, I don't know. Like, our minds must be able to do it, right?
Or at least our minds think that we do it, if nothing else. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, versus we actually go there. Like, I don't know if we actually go there.
I mean, but, like, we were never physically going there, you know? We don't know. Yeah. We don't know what controls the soul and how, you know? That's a really big topic. But
I know.
Like,
I know. I feel like we could go on and on about it, but I might have to end it. But I do have one last thing about it. So I told Garrett what I was, what, like, my story was going to be this week, right?
Okay.
And I sort of explained it to him. And he, first of all, he's, like, very doubtful that
I was going to say, did he even listen to you talk
about it? He was like, this is stupid. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say, isn't that, like, the plot of Sharkboy and Lava Girl?
Okay, I feel like that's more lucid dreaming than
I know. Projection. As I started thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah.
But it is actually kind of shifting because he scripted it. It's in his
He did book, script right? it.
Or did he just dream it? I don't remember.
No, he did. He created the dream world in his notebook. It's drawn. He didn't write it. He drew it. Oh my goodness. Wow, I'm shook. I mean, Garrett, you're right on this one. And now I want to go see Sharkboy and Lava Girl. And Savannah, for all who was wondering, have you seen Sharkboy and Lava Girl?
Oh, of course I have.
Yay! I'm taking back the booze from earlier because at least you have seen that movie.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. But
you say obviously, but it's not.
Sorry. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. It's just so crazy that, like, it can happen. I just don't know what to think.
Here's what I think. I think that the next time we're together, we should sit down and write out where we want to go.
Okay.
Because that's really, if you really think about it, that's the only thing that's stopping us not having it written down.
That, honestly, true. That is the biggest thing.
Very much so willing to do it if we already had it written down.
Yeah.
I think that should be, I think we should try. Because, okay. Like, either it doesn't work and we can come back to you guys with an update and say, maybe it doesn't work. I mean, it might be years. Who knows?
Yeah, because it takes a long time for some people.
But, like, if it does work, I'm going to need you guys to believe us, okay? Because I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be serious if it works. Yep. And if it does work, I can't wait for some of the places I'm going.
Right?
But, like, at this point, this is, like, feeling like a Black Mirror episode. Because, like, well, if you don't know, new episodes of Black Mirror did just drop. And so this is, like, a very Black Mirror topic.
Really?
I feel like it fits in with this season, so. Yeah, Savannah, I'm not going to tell you to watch it because I know you won't, but.
Well, is it on Netflix?
Yes, it is on Netflix.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm trying to remember if my TV's logged into Netflix or not. Because Netflix is, like, taking away people's passwords. Or not passwords, but, like.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know, like, when you're on your family account.
Yeah.
Because I, like, log into my dad's.
Of course,
and
me
I
too.
Feel like they're going to say, oh, you can't be on here anymore.
Well, mine, you know what? I'll tell you my tips and tricks off the air. So, just so Netflix doesn't come for me. But I found a way to get around it. Anyway, moving on from that, you should watch Black Mirror. But that is a very crazy topic. I really, truly don't know where I stand. And I feel like I can't even give an opinion until I at least try it.
I know.
I would say I want to try it for, like, a couple months. I feel like I'd give it a few months. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't work after, like, 3, 4, or 5 months,
I
might
give
up.
Since you have lucid dreamt, like, it might work better for you.
True. That's true.
Knows?
That's true. But I also can't, like... Here's the thing. When I have lucid dreamt before, I didn't, like, choose to lucid dream. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I think most people go into lucid dreaming, like, wanting to lucid dream. But I woke up and I knew I was in a dream and could control what I wanted to do.
See, I have the opposite experience with dreams because I'll go through dreams fully believing it's, like, not like I don't know it's a dream, right?
Yeah.
And then I wake up and I still think it actually happened.
Oh, well, no, that happens to me too. That happens to me more. Wait, I mean, I've only lucid dreamt a few times. That, yeah, what you just said happens to me about every day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, did that happen?
I don't know. Like, I have to do a check with myself. Right. Like, wait, what? Like,
wait. Let me run that back real quick. But yeah, no. Well, I'm honestly speechless. I mean, I'm saying a bunch of words, but am speechless on that topic. Yeah,
I know. We can definitely come back to it, too, later.
We'll literally have to. Mm-hmm. Wow. How to even transition is just really, truly beyond me. My story for you this week is hard to explain, just as much as yours was. That's what I'll say. And honestly, like, because I'm trying to see, like, what you would classify yours as, like, mystery, myth, or legend. I would say mystery, honestly, because it's a mystery to me, if that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so, too.
Well, I, too, have a mystery for you, okay? And it's a mystery, but it's not in a mystery how you would think it's a mystery. So, I have for you what people call the Baldoon Mystery. Da-da-da. Oh, what? I know. You have no clue what's coming for you. Nope. And neither did I until I did this. So, I was inspired to pick this story this week because my brother, shout out Josh, he is in Canada for work. And so I was like, maybe, I was like, is anything scary happening? And he was like, no. But I was like, maybe I can find something, you know, whatever. But then I looked and we also have a lot of listeners in Canada. So shout out to you guys, first of all.
Oh, wow. Shout out.
I know. And I was like, I think it's been a minute since our last Canadian story. So it's time. And thus I have found this weird story, this Canadian mystery slash possible haunting, maybe, that I found. So it takes place in present day Wallaceburg, which is in southern Ontario, Canada. And there's not much setup, so let's just get right on into it, shall we? The area of land that I just... So today it is Wallaceburg, but back then in 1804, it was... that's when it started, and it was known as the Baldoon Settlement.
Okay.
Why it's called the Baldoon Settlement, I don't know, because... It was originally, created and thought of by Lord Selkirk. And normally I thought people just name stuff after themselves, but...
Yeah, honestly.
You know, I don't know. So Lord Selkirk, he imagined a settlement, which is basically, back then, a town. And he wanted it to look and function like his hometown in the Scottish Highlands. So he decided... He was like, you know what? This land is mine. And he ordered and imported sheep to this place and persuaded 15 families from the old country to undertake this new adventure with him. That's what he called it, at least. To create the Baldoon Settlement, which is basically Baldoon Town, if you will.
Okay.
So they arrived on September 5th, 1804. And they were super optimistic about their future. They were like, we're creating this brand new city and it's going to be amazing. And we're so excited for all the new opportunities we're going to have. And they pull up to this really wet, disgusting, swampy piece of land in the middle of a malaria breakout.
Oh no, that does not sound good.
Immediately turn the ship around, baby. Turn the ship around.
Well, I mean... They probably don't have supplies and stuff.
No, they didn't. And you know what? The deal was done. The land was bought. Like, it was time. You know, they didn't have a choice. So, as you can imagine, not only was the malaria hard to beat, but they also couldn't grow crops in swampy land too well. So, the sheep, they weren't
literally
really...
Literally, nobody went out there and checked it before they bought it.
Oh, no, guess not. I really guess not. I mean, you know, Scotland's pretty far.
Yeah.
I think.
I guess.
I don't know. I mean, it's an ocean away. But.
And definitely far, far back then because you're going by boat. You
exactly.
Know?
So. Exactly. That's why I said, baby, turn that boat around, even though they couldn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the sheep, they weren't surviving. And so basically the settlement / town, it never even got started before the downfall happened, which is kind of sad. And then the colony was invaded by Americans during the War of 1812. And after that, most of the original settlers had left and Lord Selkirk sold his property. So they big bounced out of there. quick. Baldoon was over very, very quick. You know, it's sad, but...
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it was over just as it started.
Immediately. They had not even got off the boat and they already knew it was over. But because all of those people, those 15 families, you know, they came all that way. They were like, I mean, we're not going back now. So, like, most of the original Highlanders remained in the general area. You know, they didn't stay, like, literally in the swamp that they were planning on staying at. But they stayed, like, around the area. And they were soon joined with others who liked the place, too. And they were all on way better plots of land. But still near the area. So, you know, that's cool. The town did eventually become Bowdoon. It just wasn't what they had originally thought it was going to be. So one of the people who decided to join this town was named John MacDonald. Very basic name. So him and his family decided to join this little town. And it was the early 1820s when they bought their land. Another immediate downfall. The troubles for the MacDonald family started in 1829, pretty much right after they, you know, built their house and got everything set up. You know, they got there, got stuff set up, and bad stuff started happening. Most accounts say that the very first incident that ever occurred happened to this group of women who were working to prepare the straw in the barn. I guess they were, you know, baling some hay, getting it together. And interesting, I think, that it was the group of women working in the barn. You know, maybe that's not weird, but I thought it was. I thought that would typically be a man's job, but...
I guess that's a woman's job.
Suppose so.
Honestly, it might be because there wasn't that many people.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very true. It was a very small town. So these women who were, you know, preparing the straw, without any warning whatsoever, they're just putting the straw together, and all of a sudden, poles from the roof structure began to topple down, like slinging down, basically like bows and arrows flying from the ceiling straight to the ground, and it was literally sending out wooden daggers, raining down on these women. Mm-hmm. And absolutely no reason. Like, they didn't do anything. They didn't knock anything over. Nothing like that. Nothing happened. It just, all of a sudden, everything was falling from the ceiling. Let's see here. So they, you know, ran as fast as they could to try to avoid being impaled. None of them got killed, thank goodness, but they were all hurt very badly.
I can imagine. That's right, insane. Like, literally getting impaled. Things just started raining down on me.
Jeez. I know. It's really crazy.
And it's like while you're working, too.
Right. They're like, we were on the last bale of hay, man.
Right. <You know?
laughs> So after an investigation, and I felt like this was important to add because this is what the story said that I was reading off of. After an investigation from the men, no source of this incident was ever found. So the right, men, I guess, were, you know, the men, they're smarter.
They, so like, they didn't, like, believe the women. They're, yeah, like, oh, you had to have done something, exactly, to get these to fall.
They were like, we didn't do a single thing. And the men were like, let's check it out. And they went up to the roof and they found that the poles were installed in such a way that it would almost be impossible for them to have came loose easily, if at all, and definitely all at the same time.
Huh.
So they were like, okay, well, that's weird. And normally we would just say, as a woman, you're crazy. But now that we've all seen this, I don't know what to say, you know? So this event really was the first to kickstart what they would later call a plague on this farm of the MacDonalds. So the MacDonald family, you know, after that happened, they started to hear unexplained sounds, in the house at all hours, every single day and night. When they were sleeping, they often heard the sound of somebody walking around, specifically in the kitchen. I'm just like, maybe the ghost was hungry, you know? Maybe it's me at 3 a.m.
they probably were hungry.
That's what I'm saying. but according to the family, most time, other than like when they were in the kitchen, most other times when they heard the footsteps, it wasn't like just one person walking, but instead it sounded like rhythmic marching, as if it were men marching, like in war.
So I don't know about that.
That's a little uncomfy. Don't really like that too much. And every single time, like, they would hear this, which was every single day and night, one of them would go out and look and see if anything was out there. And, of course, nothing was out there. And the sounds would stop. And then, you know, they would check the house. Nobody was in the house. And then they would go back to, you know, doing whatever they were doing. And the sounds would start back up again the second that they weren't paying attention. So, don't like that.
Yeah, hate it, actually.
And, yeah, right. And in my opinion, like, that's kind of almost whatever that is, like entity, ghost, whatever you want to call it, it's almost like it's mocking them in a way, you know, by like leading them out there to like see who it is. And then the second they're not paying attention anymore, like, haha, we're back. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, not only was the raining poles and shards of wood not good, but like them doing this also not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all. Another disturbing event that happened involved one of the children. It was the youngest child. This baby was sitting in the wooden cradle, chilling like a regular, you know, as a baby would and as it should. When all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it started to rock violently from side to side with nobody, like, around it at all.
Oh, no.
So three men ran over to try to stop the cradle from rocking. And with all of their might, three of the biggest townsmen couldn't stop the cradle from rocking back and forth. So they got the baby out. Don't worry. The baby was okay. But they got the baby out, and they still couldn't get it to stop rocking. Which, I don't like that either. Because that's, like, demonic, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I definitely don't like that.
No. And worse than that, fires would randomly start on the property, almost as if this presence was trying to burn the house down.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. There were over 20 fires that were started in the time that they lived there. And what's even crazier than that is, so they, you know, they would see a fire and they would get it put out. And the second that they would get that fire put out, another one would start in a different place.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Like, it wouldn't just be one fire, like, in a day. It'd be, like, a few fires in a day. So, It's, like, this constant, like, cat and mouse game that this entity is, like, playing with his family. And this family is just trying to farm and live and survive, you know, and they just can't. So, at this point, obviously, John McDonald is like, okay, enough is enough. Whatever this is, we want it out. But did they leave the house? No. Of course not. You know, money, tight, they just bought it, just moved from wherever, you know, all of the regular reasons why you can't just up and leave your house, you know. So, over the years, and yes, in fact, I did say years, that the family lived there.
Oh, God, they really stayed for that long?
Yeah. I think at the end it was like three years. That's a long time. That's how long I've been in my house. I would say that's a pretty long time. Like, if I had been experiencing this stuff every day, I would not have been here this long.
Yeah. But also, like, they just moved across
the world.
And it's not like there's another house down the street, right? Yeah,
you're right. Definitely different.
Like, they
got
to build it.
This is 2023, and this was, like, 1820. So, you know, yeah. They weren't building it. And they weren't leaving. So, I mean, I completely understand. But at the same time, I would probably leave. Because this seemed a little dangerous. Like, this, if the thing tried to hurt my baby, it would be over. Like, I would be on the side of the street.
No, that is very true.
You know? Like, that's the point where I'm like, that's crazy. And, like, also, was that baby okay? I hope it was. Because, like, shaken baby syndrome is definitely a thing. As I said, over the years that they lived here, many other things happened to them. Like, the ones I read were just some of the most common. Some other things that happened, which I think is just absolutely wild, is that very often rocks and bullets would be thrown at the exterior of the house. So
bullets?
I don't mean that somebody's outside shooting the house. It's like as if somebody's standing outside holding rocks and stray bullets and throwing it at the house.
Okay, but still, like, mm-hmm. What?
No, I know, it's very weird. And the family collected these rocks and bullets and actually kept them. And they said that some of the bullets had weird markings on them. But a family friend told them that it wasn't smart to keep these objects, which, shout out to that family friend, because, duh. Like, obviously, you should not keep them. So once the family friend told them that, the family started taking these rocks and bullets to a nearby creek, like far enough away from their house to be like, you know, it's far enough, but not too far at the same time. But within the next week, the same bullets and rocks would be thrown at the house again. And this continued all the whole entire time that they lived there. And so eventually, John boarded up the windows so that they couldn't be shattered anymore by these rocks and bullets. And that did not stop them. They would still hear these rocks and bullets being thrown at the wooden boards. And daily, the rocks and bullets would be found outside the house.
What?
I mean, like, that's crazy.
It is.
Like, no way. No way.
Oh, my God. They're doing everything they can to, like, stop it. And it's just not doing anything.
Right. Nothing at all. So, obviously, the people in the Baldoon settlement knew what was going on with this family. They were a very close-knit group of people. But as more and more things kept happening, like, this story is very crazy. And this story is from the early 1800s. And so, think about that time period, okay, and how easily word can travel. The answer is not very easily. However, yeah. This story started traveling. Until people from different parts of the world were hearing about it, and that was very crazy for the time.
Really?
Yeah.
They were, what?
Yeah, like, newspapers were made with the story, and they were even promoting the farm as a scary tourist attraction at some points.
Oh my gosh, what?
Like, back in the 1800s, they're like, you want to come see a haunted house? We got one for you right here. Grab your bullets and rocks on the way out. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Crazy. It's really crazy. And, you know, at first, actually, the McDonald family, you know, they welcomed the growing interest because they thought, well, maybe if more and more people are, like, coming to this house, like, maybe the stuff will stop. You know, maybe the whatever this is will be too scared to come out and show itself. But, you know, they couldn't be further from the truth. Nothing stopped. Not one of the things stopped. Everything that I've already said before kept happening. And if not, worse things happening. And some people allegedly got hurt. I couldn't really find anything on, like, in any details of what had happened. Maybe a rock or a bullet hit them. I don't know. But people apparently were injured at this house. And, you know, John McDonald, the wonderful man he was, as hard as he tried, he was like, you know, maybe this thing is connected to the house or the land that we built it on, you know? A smart man for the early 1800s, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So he was like, all right, guys, just for a little bit, let's pack up and move to my dad's house, which wasn't too far, but it wasn't close. I don't really know where his house was, but, you know. New location. They were like, let's go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess what happens?
Oh, God. Did it follow them?
It followed them. Nothing stopped. Rocks and bullets broke his dad's windows. Footsteps were heard in his house. Everything was the same.
What?
But in this new house. And so, you know, since that pretty much helped them determine that this was going to keep happening anywhere that they went, they decided it would at least be better to move back into their original property, you know.
I mean, true. Like, I would, too.
Because they're like, I mean, we're not going to destroy everybody's house that we know just because there's something attached to us. But they said that when they moved back into their new house, I mean, the old house, you know, the first, the OG, they were going to move back, but they weren't going to stay inside the house. Instead, they stayed in a tent outside.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, let's just take that in for a moment. There's an unforeseen entity throwing rocks and bullets at you, shaking your baby, marching in your house, you know, doing all this stuff. But we're gonna sleep in a tent outside? I don't know if that's the best idea, John.
Interesting. Did they think, oh, they're not going to get us in here?
I mean, yeah, they did. And I was going to say, like, I personally never feel safe in a tent. But they were like, I mean, John's thought process was like, everything that they're doing has to do with a house. And if we're not staying in a house, maybe they won't bother us. And they didn't.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe, they didn't. Maybe they would attack the house and leave them alone.
Exactly. And you know what? They were chilling in the tent. They were fine in the tent. But, well, at least I couldn't find anything that happened while they were in the tent. But eventually, you know, they got tired of living in the tent and they moved back in the house. And it's unknown what the final push was for the McDonald family, but eventually they did in fact decide that it was time to contact somebody to see if we can get something changing out here. So John went to a priest who had a bunch of experience in performing exorcisms. Don't know how he found that out, but he did. And the priest came out to the house, you know, did his little priest thing, and it didn't work. Nothing stopped.
Of course.
Yep, of course. So after that, they had a couple more priests come out. Nothing happened. Nothing stopped. It was not working. And then, so this is according to some sources. I couldn't find this on all of the sources, so take this with a grain of salt, I suppose. But allegedly, after the priest didn't work, the family met with a woman who was, quote unquote, gifted with the power of second sight, as they call it back in the day. And she claimed that the events were happening due to a curse that was placed on the property by an old woman. She was like, I don't really, you know, okay. I can just see an old woman cursing the property. And she said, and so the McDonald's were like they cursed us because they're like, baby, it followed us. When we moved, it came with us. And she was like, yeah, no, the old lady cursed y'all as a family. And John was like, why? Like, why?
Okay, like, honestly, I don't know why I did not even think that could be a possibility. Like,
I know, I know.
Almost so obvious.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, wait, a curse actually does make sense. Even I didn't even think about it, like, while I was writing this story. I was like, it has to be connected to the land somehow, and they just, like, made them mad, but...
Right. No, but that does make total sense. Mm-hmm. Oh, they got cursed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, when John asked this, you know, woman, psychic, I'm going to call her a psychic, because that's what she is in today's terms. She said that it seems as if the McDonald's were involved in a minor argument with the woman and her two sons. And actually, the woman and her two sons are who they originally purchased the property from in the early 1920s. And so she said, I don't know what the argument was about. I wasn't there and she's not telling me, but that's why she cursed you. So, maybe be nice to the people that you buy a house from in case they die and curse you.
Wait, when did they buy the house?
In the early 1820s.
Oh, you said 1920s. So you confused me.
Oh, okay. Sorry. 1818.
Okay, 18. Yeah, 1820s. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So, like I said, you know, that last part, it could have just been added in there. But honestly, I think it makes sense to me. I think that's the only thing that makes sense. A curse? Gotta be. So, with all of my research, you know, it's not really clear what this family did to get rid of it. Some just say, you know, the passing of time made it go away. Others think the McDonald's performed a ritual to get it to go away. And, you know, some of the retellings of the story are, like, really, really extra, as you can imagine. Like this one that suggests that the McDonald's needed to shoot a black goose with a silver bullet. And this would be because allegedly whoever came up with this thought that the if you were to ever see a black goose, that black goose is the woman that cursed you. That's
interesting.
What they said. So they were like, if you see a black goose, kill it with a silver bullet and a silver bullet only. And in this version of the story, John found a black goose, shot it with a silver bullet in its wing, its right wing.
Huh.
And after this, the family saw an older woman in town with a sling on her right arm. The same arm as the black goose that was shot.
Oh my God.
So, you know, that theory suggests that this woman was a witch and that, you know, could turn herself into a black goose. And yeah, so, you know, that theory, pretty wild, but who's to say it's not true? I don't know. Anyway, no matter really what you believe, what theory you believe about whatever is going on in this house and with this family, let's see here. It was about 4 years after they moved in. At this point, it's almost 1830. The incidents randomly just seem to stop one day.
As they do. Sometimes that just happens.
Yep. And, you know, this stopped the curious tourists from coming to. And, you know, after years and years of torture, the McDonald family could finally enjoy their property. And, you know, they did. They ended up staying there. They loved living there. And they raised all their kids and grandkids there. Which, you know, I think that's cute. You know? Cutesy little end of the story. But there's one final ending of the story that is very crazy to me. In 1930, 100 years after all the craziness and madness of this house stopped, the house burnt down to the ground with no explanation.
No way.
So, yeah, that is really the Baldoon mystery. And apparently it's one of the most popular Canadian mysteries. Mystery because, like, was it a witch, a curse, a ghost? I literally don't know. A demon? All of the above?
Yeah. Yeah, like, who was throwing the rocks?
Right, that's bullets. What I'm saying. But also, like, who was the army that we were hearing in the house marching around? Exactly. I don't know. I don't have answers. And that's why it's a mystery. And we know that we hate those. But we also love them. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Baldoon mystery.
Wow.
Da-da-da! Crazy! Huh. Well.
I loved it.
Thanks. Well, definitely go check out our Instagram to see pictures from this week.
I don't know what kind of pictures I'm going to post.
I think that there are some pictures of newspaper clippings from this time period, actually.
Ooh. So, yeah, that'll be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, because as I said, their story was very popular in the newspapers. So it was out there and real. I mean, real at least enough to be in the news. You know?
True. Yeah, yeah.
Like, was the family making it up? I don't know. I don't know why they would be doing all this to not get famous or get money or anything. But I don't know. I guess we'll never know. But go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And that's kind of all I really have for you guys this week. What about you, Savannah?
I think that is it.
All right. Well, I guess we will see you guys next week.
Cue the music.